Well, praise the Lord, everybody, everywhere. Welcome to Church Online right here at Kingdom Life Church. I'm coming to you remotely from Dallas, Texas, and boy, do I have a word for you. So get yourself situated wherever you are, in your kitchen, in your living room, in your bedroom, sipping your coffee or your tea, whatever your morning ritual is, and listen to the word of the Lord. I want us to go to the book of Genesis, the 12th chapter. I'm going to read verses 1-7, and then I want to take you to the 15th chapter of the book of Genesis and read the fifth chapter and fifth verse. I'm sorry. And so Genesis 12, verses 1-7, and then Genesis 15, verse 5. And I want you to hone in on verse 5 of the 15th chapter, because in essence, this is where we're going to end up. And this is really the substratum of this word for us today, that particular text. And so I'm looking forward to seeing what the Spirit of God does in our lives today as he speaks the word of life into us. Come on, go with me to Genesis, the 12th chapter. Verse 1 says this: Now the Lord had said to Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless you and curse him that curses thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abraham departed as the Lord has spoken unto him, and Lot was with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and to the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanites was then in the land. Verse 7 says, And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, Unto thy seed will I give this land. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord who had appeared unto him. Now I want you to go with me to Genesis 15, verse 5. Verse 5. The Bible says this: Then he brought him outside and said, Look now toward heaven and count the stars to see if you are able to number them. And he said to him, So shall your descendants be. Beloved, for the next few moments we have together, I want to talk to you from the subject entitled, The Potential to Go Beyond Agony. The potential to go beyond agony. Let's pray. Spirit of the living God, we thank you for this moment, this opportunity to receive a word from you. You've set aside this time. You've appointed this moment to speak life into us, into our spirits, into our souls, into our situations. Father, the word is the only thing that can separate soul from spirit and discern the intentions of a heart. And so, Father, we ask that you speak such a word that it changes our very nature and causes us to be conformed to the image of your Son, Jesus. May we all be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Touch every heart so it's open to receive your word, and on every ear so that it is able to hear it. Have your way, Holy Spirit. Have your way. The word of God has given us precedent that we don't have to be gathered together all in one place. For the word says, if any two or three of us come together concerning anything, touching in agreement concerning anything, that you would show up in the midst of us. So, Father, we ask that you show up right in our homes, right in our offices, right in our cars, wherever we're listening to this message. Spirit of the living God, show up as we come into agreement with this word and for what you're about to do in our lives. We give you thanks for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. This word has been bowling around in my spirit and in my heart, and the text that we've taken is not unfamiliar to many of us. Many of us who are in the faith know who Abraham is. He is the progenitor of our faith. He is the one that God hand-selected and picked and chosen to birth out the children of Israel, which subsequently would result in Jesus coming through that lineage. It is he who is what is called the father of our faith. And the story of him leaving his father's country has been preached ad nauseum. It has been preached far and wide. And I make no assumptions that you are not familiar with the text. However, I do want us to understand that there is something about this particular story that I believe is timely and relevant for us to dig into at this very moment. And the relevancy of this text is because we are all facing the unknown. We're all facing unprecedented times and events. And moreover, we are all facing the tents that we are living under, the perspectives that we have, the mindsets that we have, the cloistering in our homes. Business as usual has been completely interrupted. And so as I dive into this text, into this narrative to help us to understand where we are, most importantly, where we're going, based upon God's covenant purpose and what he intends to do in our lives, the potential to go beyond agony suggests to us that we have the power to make a choice in this very moment of facing the unknown and of facing the unprecedented times and events and having to deal with the difficulty of living under our tents. You see, it is God who came to Abram almost out of nowhere and says to him, leave your father's country. They were dwelling in the Ur of the Chaldeans in Haran. Haran means a parched place or a dry place or a hot place, a desert place. And they were nomadic people going from place to place, but this is where they have set up camp. This is where they have settled. And God comes to him and says, it's time to leave Haran. Haran also by definition in the Hebrew means to be angry or to be hot emotionally. And it would seem as though dealing with all of this unknown and dealing with all of these unprecedented times and events that we all could perhaps become uneasy and angry and hot emotionally, where we're being driven by our emotions because we're looking at them as directives instead of just data. The emotions that you feel that you're having, whether it is fear, whether it is anxiety, whether it is joy, whether it is optimism or pessimism, these are just feelings and they are data to help you to understand what your thinking is doing so that you can make a choice to alter. And the mistake that we make sometimes is to believe how we feel, that our feeling is the reality. No, it is just a feeling. Go ahead and type it in the comments right there and say, no, baby, it's just a feeling. And your feeling is not always fact, but it is information. And it is information for you to be able to face yourself and to have an honest perspective of where you are emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. And so the first place of agony that we have to overcome or that we have to know we have the potential to go beyond is the agony of the unknown. God comes to Abraham and says, leave your father's country, leave Haran, leave this parched place, leave this desert place, leave this hot place, leave this angry place, leave this place. But there is no destination. So the destination is unknown. There's only the directive of God to say, go, let me tell you something, that is not easy. To leave everything that you know, to leave everything that you're familiar with, it's not an easy thing. But this is where he is. He is in what they call, psychologists call a liminal space. A liminal space simply means that you're betwixt and between. You're not there. You're not here. You're in the middle of it. It is uncertain. It is unknown. And this is where Abraham is. And for us to understand that concept, whether you were pushed there or whether you chose to jump there, either way, you're not where you were before, nor do you know how you're going to land, and you have no idea what reality is really going to be or going to look like. And so you are betwixt and between, and you're in that space, and it's emotional, and it's mental, and it's spiritual, and you're destabilized, and you're disoriented, and you're having to deal with all of this, and the old touchstones, the old habits, the stuff that you used to do. None of that works here. Because the future is that unknown. This is where we wish it would be over soon. This is where we wish it would simply end. This is where we wish, my God, I wish this thing would be completely done and finished. I'm ready to get out of here. This is where we wish we can go through it quickly. And we have a little bit of patience for it, but there's an impatience for it to pass very quickly. And so we want little distress as possible in this phase, even though that is not likely. And so the mindset is, I gotta get out. I gotta get out. This gotta change. I gotta get out. And we become frantic and we become anxious. And the Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God that transcends all understanding shall guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. I want to talk to somebody for a second who was battling and wrestling with the anxiety of dealing with the unknown. And I'm here to tell you, you have the potential to go beyond the agony of your anxiety because there is no certainty. The certainty is that you know that God did not bring you this far to bring you this far. The certainty of the unknown is that there is a factor that you do know. And if you know God, then you do not have to know the destination per se. You do not have to know exactly how everything is going to end up. For we walk by faith and not by sight. And so I want to show you, I want to encourage you that there is the possibility of taking where you are, of experiencing that liminal space, of being betwixt and between, of experiencing the unknown, and as uncomfortable as it is, that perhaps it is a place of your greatest creativity. It is a place that perhaps you can construct and deconstruct some things that have been stopping your transformation. Transformation is a choice. It is a choice. It is a choice. This is why God gave us the Holy Spirit as our comforter, so that when we choose to step outside of our comfort zones and our comfortable mindsets and our comfortable places, and then when life pushes us out of our comfort zones and our comfortable places, we have the comforter to lead us and to guide us in all truth. That when we don't know what to pray, when you lost the words, the Spirit himself, my God, begins to make intercession for you. And so there's comfort in being uncomfortable. Yeah. There's comfort in being uncomfortable. And so perhaps this is the moment that is going to bring you to unexpected shores. Perhaps this is the moment that the unknown is coming into your life to bring you to a place you never thought you imagined you could be. So like Jonah in the belly of the whale, we're often led to the places we don't want to go. It's unsettling, this liminal space, this uncertainty. And we are led there, listen to me carefully, we are led there to draw on resources and possibilities that we have never tapped before. God is bringing you somewhere. He's taking you somewhere to tap possibilities that you've never had before, to walk into resources you've never had before. That's a good place to shout. That's a good place to pause. That's a good place to learn and to understand that you do not have to stay in Haran forever. You do not have to stay where you are forever. You have the potential of going beyond the agony of the unknown. And even if it's dark, and even if it's bleak, the darkness is your teacher. You have to let all of that become your teacher rather than living in a illusion that you have to stay where you are. And even though leaving what is familiar, even though stepping out in the uncomfortable place, even though doing all of those things is unsettling, and they will break you down, but it also offers you the choice to build you up to the place where you are alive and free and aware more than ever of God's living presence in your life. I need somebody to say, I will not stay here forever. Go ahead and write it down in the comment section. I will not stay here forever. And so he leaves and he takes Sarah, his wife, and he takes Lot, and he takes all the souls that the Bible says had came with him. So not only are you leaving, not only are you going to another place, not only are you going to the next dimension, there's some folk that are connected to you that are going as well. You ought to say, I'm not staying here forever, and neither are my kids, and neither is my family, and neither is anybody that is connected to me. I am going to another dimension. Abraham was 75 years old when he left Haran. Can you imagine? 75, you settled. It's over. It's done. You chill. He was 75. And God was just getting started. My God, I feel this thing down in my spirit. Somebody ought to type, God's just getting started in my life. He's just getting started to do something amazing. He's just getting started to do something incredible. It's not too late. You're not out of time. You're not out of options. You will not stay where you are forever. And so the first place of agony that we have to go beyond is the agony of the unknown. And when you leave the agony of unknown, it's not going to get any easier. It's not going to get any easier. Because the unknown often brings us into unprecedented times and unprecedented events. And all you have to do is look at your news. All you have to do is turn on CNN or MSNBC or Fox, whatever you look at, your local news channel. All you have to do is turn on your news to see and to know that these are strange times. That these are unprecedented moments. And Abram leaves Haran, and you would think he would walk into blessing because he obeys God and he leaves Haran, but he doesn't. He has to sojourn. He has to look for a city whose builder and maker is the Lord. And that's what he's doing. And as he's doing that, he finds himself in Egypt because of famine, because of trouble, because of an unprecedented moment, an unprecedented event. And they have to make it. And when he gets there, his wife is taken from him. And he's fearing for his life, and he's doing all he knows to do to survive. The agony of unprecedented times or events is a place of total disorder. But disorder is part of the wisdom pattern of God. It's part of your transformation. It's part of your going through. It is not the end all that be all. And the difficulty of going through the disorder or the chaos to get to what God is about to reorder in your life is that you have to make sure you don't stay too long. Abram was about to make a catastrophic mistake of camping out in Egypt just to survive. At some point, you have to leave the survival mode that you needed to hold on to because you were going through and make the choice to say, okay, I survived. Now what? I have to make a decision to thrive. I have to make a decision to flourish. I have to make a decision not to languish here and to settle for where I am, because we're making it in Egypt, but my life is in disarray and my wife is taken and she's gone and Pharaoh's taken her to be his wife because she was beautiful. And Abraham said, listen, tell him you're my sister, which was a half truth, which was a whole lie. Tell him you're my sister so that they won't kill me, because he's just trying to survive. I get it. I get it. I get it. When you're just trying to survive, you will do anything to survive. But it is the disorder that causes you to grow. And if you're going to continue growing, you're going to have the period of disorder, the unprecedented event, the unprecedented moment that brings you down to a place of not even understanding. I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I said that. I can't believe I thought that. I can't believe I was that desperate that I relegated myself to that. I can't believe I'm down here. And I know I got some people listening to me today that can testify and say, I'm one of those that I can't believe I did that. But I'm here to tell you that you do not have to be loyal to your mistake. You do not have to be loyal to the thing you did, because what you did is not who you are. You can make a decision to use it to grow larger and bigger in your heart and in your mind and in your spirit than you ever had before. You see, the pattern of transformation always involved, at least at some measure, some sort of suffering. But the suffering doesn't have to be prolonged. And the only reason the suffering is prolonged is not because of the situation. The suffering is prolonged because you're trying to control the situation. You're not suffering because you're going through. You're suffering because you're trying to control the outcome. You're trying to control the environment. You can't control everything. But you can create your own environment in what you're going through and determine that you will not settle for where you are, because it is not always going to be like this. And so the reality of going beyond the agony of unprecedented times is to let go of your smaller self, to let go of your norms and your beliefs and your preferences. Because until you let go of all of those things, God will not be able to reorder what he wants to do in your life. And to be honest, if you're going to keep growing, if you're going to keep abounding, if you're going to keep moving forward, you will be disappointed. You will be let down. At some point, you will be deeply disappointed by what you originally thought. You will be deeply disappointed by your choices and where they have led you. You will be deeply disappointed by the random tragedies that seemingly find their way into our lives. The deaths and the disease and the disruption to our normal way of thinking, our normal way of being, the way we see the world. And I'm here to tell you that that's all a necessary part of your growth. Some things have to fall apart in order for some things to come into place. Ooh. Some things have to fall apart because what transformation does not begin when something new occurs. Transformation begins when something old is allowed to fall apart. And this is not easy. And everything that Abraham is doing to survive the unprecedented time and event of a famine is causing things in his life to fall apart. And this is where God steps in. The Lord always steps in when things look like they're falling apart. The Lord always steps in at that moment, at that midnight hour, at that unprecedented time where you think it's done and you're finished. And God steps in at that moment. And God stepped in and intervened in the whole situation and had to speak to Pharaoh himself to let him know, she belongs to Abraham. The importance of this moment is because Sarah is tied and connected to Abram, and God has a nation on his mind and something that he wants to do. And so he just can't bring Abram out. He's got to bring Sarah out. My God, he just can't bring you out. He's got to bring your family out. He just can't do it for you. He's got to do it for everybody that's attached to you. He leaves Egypt and God brings him out, and then Lot goes in. Come on, somebody. So it's one thing after another. He goes into captivity and then God connects him to kings to bring him out. God will connect you to whoever he needs to connect you to bring you out of whatever situation that you are in. God, because it is not going to be this way forever. It's not going to be this way forever. And you have to know it's not going to look like this forever, and it's not going to be this way forever. You don't have to stay where you are forever. It's not going to be this way forever. This is the lessons that Abraham is learning, and God is with him through it all. And he's having to learn how to deal with the agony of the unknown and the agony of unprecedented times. And what he is learning in these processes is that God will always bring you out. Many of the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord shall deliver them out of them all. My God, I feel the Spirit of the living God. God will deliver you out of every affliction, out of every ailment, out of everything that you're facing, out of all of your hardships, out of all your difficulties. It might not be when you want it to be. It might not be the way you want it to be, but you shall come out of this. I need just about 5 or 10 people to go ahead and comment. Put that emoji in there. Put that word down there in the comment section. I shall come out of this. Put them emoji hands up. Do whatever you got to do. Shoot up a flare, but let all of hell know. I shall come out of this, whether it's sickness, whether it is disease, whether it is debt, whether it is doubt, whatever it is, I'm coming out of it. This anxiety, I'm coming out of it. This fear, I am coming out of it. This mindset of scarcity, I am coming out of it. And I am going into a mindset of abundance. I'm going into my healing. I'm going into debt freedom. I'm going into the resources that I need for my business. I'm coming out, but I'm also going in. God will not leave us nor forsake us. He will be with us to the very end and bring us out of all of our afflictions. The agony of unprecedented times. And we've seen Abraham deal with the agony of unknown. He leaves. We see him deal with the agony of unprecedented times where he learns that God will deliver you even when you're making bad choices and bad mistakes. Oh God, I thank you right now for setting me free from bad decisions. Thank you for rescuing me from my bad choices. And you don't know how you got in, and you don't know how you're going to get out. But God says, I'm going to get you out. Oh, that's a word for somebody. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I'm talking to somebody right now that's in a situation that you got yourself in. And the Lord said, I'm going to get you out. My God, I feel this thing down in my spirit. He said, I'm going to get you out. And so as we see Abraham deal with the agony of an unprecedented moment, we now get to witness him deal with the greatest agony of them all. You see, it's not the unknown that's so much a problem. It's not the unprecedented times or events. It is the agony of living under your own tent that is the most difficult thing to overcome. And so in Genesis 15, as God has already given the promise to Abraham that he would make him great, that he would bless him, he would make his name great, that all the nations of the world shall be blessed through him, by him, that God will bless whoever blesses him and curse whoever curses him. Then in Genesis 15, we find Abram in his tent. And God has to come to him and say, Abram, come out of your tent. Don't be afraid. I'm your shield and your exceeding great reward. You see, the Bible says, after these things, in verse 1, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in the vision. After these things, the unprecedented times and events, after the agony of the unknown, after everything that transpired, God comes to him and says, don't be afraid in a vision. And Abraham's concern is God, you promise me. You promise me that I would have descendants and that I would be great, and I don't have an heir. I've seen you do some stuff, but the thing that you promised me, my God, who am I talking to? It hasn't materialized, and it's been too long. I was 75 when I left Haran. And it's been years since you gave me that word. And it hasn't materialized yet. I don't have an heir. I go childless. He says, look, you've given me no offspring. And the only thing I got is a servant boy, if I want to call him an heir. Eliezer of Damascus, I can call him an heir if you want me to. I'll figure something out. I'll give in to what I thought it was going to be like. If that's what you want, God. And God comes to him and says, no, that's not going to be the way it's going to go down. That's not the way it's going to happen. He says, no. And so he says to Abraham, come outside. Come outside your tent, because the agony under your tent is the story that you keep telling yourself. It is the story that you keep convincing yourself of, that God's not going to do what he said he's going to do. That you're trying to wrap your mind around that, okay, this is my ceiling. This is my cap. This is as far as I can go. And I'm going to have to learn to live with it, because I'm getting too old and I'm too tired And I'm too frustrated to keep believing. And everybody's talking about me because I didn't say it was going to happen and it ain't happened yet. And I'm just about ready to throw in the towel. I want to talk to some people who have convinced themselves to throw in the towel. And you're living under the agony of your own tent. And you're holding on to a framework of a story that you have told yourself and now you believe it. If you believe the dominant framework of the story you tell yourself, instead of believing what God said, instead of believing what the Bible says, instead of believing the good news of the kingdom of God, you will suddenly find yourself making new decisions. Making new decisions that will keep you tied to that story. But if you can disbelieve in the same way you did believe, if you can disbelieve the story you told yourself and believe, my God, what the Lord said, who shall believe our report, and to whom of the arm of the Lord revealed. If you can believe what God said, then you will also make new decisions. Not because you have to, not because it's a duty, but because you want to, because you're liberated from the crampedness of your own tent. You're liberated from the crampedness of the old framework of your old story, and you have let it go. You've come outside of your tent. You've been saved by faith through grace. Your prayer life will be different. Your outlook will be different. Your joy will be different. Your energy will be different. Who am I talking to? If you can stop believing your story that you've told yourself inside your tent, when you looked up at the limited view and thought that was your ceiling, that's not your ceiling. It's not your ceiling. God says, come outside of this tent and start looking and seeing the possibilities. And he says, count the stars and try to number them. My God, count the stars and try to number them. Can you imagine such a thing? He says, count the stars and try to number them. I can only imagine Abraham running out or losing count of being confounded by the possibility of how much is available to you. It's amazing when you can move outside of the agony of your own tent. It's incredible what can happen for you when you decide and make the choice to step outside of the agony of your own tent. To be in agony simply means to be in great pain, to be in great turmoil. But what God told me to tell you, what he wanted you to know in this message is that agony is reversible. My God, Lord have mercy. Agony is reversible. And that's why he told Abraham to look outside. That's why he told Abraham to look outside. Can you imagine if he just saw a little bit of glimpse of the Milky Way? Can you imagine if he just saw the galaxy in Andromeda? Yeah, just the galaxy in Andromeda is larger than our Milky Way. It is one of 100 million galaxies. It is 750,000 light years away. And I don't know if Abraham was able to see that far, but it consists of 100 billion suns. We got one sun. Andromeda has 100 billion suns. And each one is larger than the one that gives the energy to our known planet, to our planet. Do you hear what I'm saying? The infinite possibility of what God can do in your life has to be the story that you hold on to. For God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works on the inside of you. And you have the power and the potential to go beyond agony. And so you just have to come outside. You have to leave the agony of your tent. The tent is the story that you tell yourself, the narrative that you live under. And God said, that is reversible. Stop telling yourself you are defeated. Stop telling yourself it ain't going to work out. Stop telling yourself it's not going to happen. Stop telling yourself you've got to settle. Tell yourself a different story. Start talking to yourself like God's been talking to you. And remind yourself, like Jeremiah, I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope, is because of the Lord's mercies. I am not consumed. It's time for you to come outside your tent. It's time for you to come outside your tent. And to come outside your tent, you have to have clarity. You have to have an honest perspective on where you are. Clarity is an antidote for avoidance. Clarity is an antidote for avoidance. In other words, you're avoiding going outside. You're avoiding stepping into what God wants you to do. You're avoiding the little things that you need to do to get to where God said you can go. Clarity is the antidote for avoidance. To be clear, to be clear is the only way you're going to be able to step outside of what's comfortable to you, step outside of the tent that you're under. It's the only way you can do it. Clarity about what you're avoiding and how you're avoiding it, the ways that you're avoiding it, the way that you rationalize avoiding it. Clarity is the antidote to the defense system that we erect to protect ourselves from coming outside what is comfortable. It's honest. It's a self-reflective practice to say, when I come outside this tent, there's more out here. And I don't have to just look up at this. There's more out here. There's more that God wants me to have. He took him outside to give him clarity. Not only is clarity an antidote to avoidance, it helps you to get rid of distorted thinking. What made you think so little? What made you be so loyal to little? What made you come to the conclusion that this is all that God is going to do? Correct that distorted thinking. You've exaggerated the fact. You have imagined a vain thing. No, no. Step outside. That's how you get clarity. That's how you get clarity. Count the stars. I can only imagine as he was counting the stars, he started to count himself back in. Whoever counted you out can't count. That includes you. If you count yourself out, then maybe your math is wrong. Come outside and look up and see what God can do. And God told him, no, this is not how it's going to go down. This is not the way it's going to be. It's not going to look like this forever. You won't have to stay where you are forever. It won't be like that forever. And it's not going to look like it looks forever. And God told me to tell you that your agony is reversible. And all you have to do is activate the power that you have to come outside of your tent, to look up and see the possibility of what God can do. God is about to do something amazing in your life. You have the potential to go beyond agony into the ecstasy and the joy and the liberation of what God promised. We know ultimately that Abraham ended up holding the promise of God. And I came to tell somebody that's exactly what's going to happen for you. You're going to end up holding the promise of God. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for every person that's wrestling and dealing with the agony of the unknown, the agony of unprecedented times, and the agony of dwelling under your own tent. That agony is reversible. You don't have to be in anguish. You can be in joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. God is just bringing you to some unexpected places, some unexpected shores. He's bringing you through the disorder and the disruption to reorder some things in your life. So I pray in the name of Jesus that you come out of that tent, that you come out of that place that you've convinced yourself that you have to be in. That you will see God doing not only a new thing, but you will look back and tie it all together and see what he has already done to bring you this far, and know that this far is not your final destination. God has more for you. I pray his peace over your life. I pray his power to be activated on the inside of you, to pull you up, out, and through everything that you're in right now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Beloved, God bless you. I pray this word blessed your life. I pray it touched you. I pray it encouraged you. I pray it lift you up. Would you put a seed in the ground? This ministry has been an absolute blessing. I know it has. And if God has ever done anything for you through this ministry, I want you to sow into it. Whether your tithe, your offerings, I want you to give a sacrificial gift that is commensurate with the level of blessing that you have received from this ministry. You can text your gift to Give KLC. You can text 73256, Give KLC. Those are the words, 73256, and you can sow. You can download the church app and give. You can give online. However you do it as unto the Lord. We are in transition. We are moving forward. The legacy of this ministry will remain. And I'm so thankful and I'm so proud to be a part of that lineage and that legacy. Let's make sure it goes forward. And the only way it can go forward is if you support it. And so come out under that tent, that fear, that anxiety, sow into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Give, and it shall be given back unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, men shall find you and give back to your pocket. Thank you so much for your sacrificial gift. Thank you for taking the time to sow into the kingdom. And we know that God is going to bless you without measure. I love you. Now may God bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May God be gracious unto you and give you peace. May he surround you with his favor like a shield. May his angels encamp themselves round about you. And may his precious blood cover you from now to eternity. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. And I'll see you next week.